Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. What is on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, we are going to continue to get very, very practical. Again, not practical in the sense that we're going to be talking about a budget, but practical in the sense that we are going to continue to add to what we are calling our written attitude action plan. We're going to be adding attitudes that must be in place before you begin the budget experience in order for the budget experience to be a profitable one, okay? Then, during our Q&A time together, we're going to continue to talk about some real-world debt and borrowing questions. We'll have a great consumer tip from Clark Howard, particularly aimed to any of you who are absolutely positively in a position of having to buy a different car right now. Remember, times are tough for the car. You know, cars are expensive right now. What can you do? Clark is going to tell us about it. And finally, you are going to hear from Christian author and speaker and coach. We're going to be blessed by yet another Minute with Maxwell. Today, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word boldness. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time with the Lord. So as we always start, let me open us with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. We thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear? To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, it's continuing to be practical time together today. During this and our next several radio seminar times together, you're going to discover several attitude adjustments that you need to make before you even think about trying to prayerfully put together and to live on a budget. It is time to get a whole lot more practical because you are ready to become more practical. How so? Well, if you've been with us, you know that during many of our previous radio seminar times together, you discovered the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word, right? And what are they? The principles of wealth and stewardship. And the principle of wealth simply says that everything comes from, belongs to God, therefore His is the job of an owner and ours is not. If He's the owner, what are we? We are a manager. We are a steward of all that it is that God places into our hands. Principles of wealth and stewardship. Now, you also now know how important it is to pick up and put on God's spiritual armor, right? God's spiritual financial armor. And during our last time together, well, you learned of the first two of the seven critical elements of your attitude action plan that must be in place before you start to develop, much less live on, your written financial plan, okay? Otherwise known as a budget. Now, recall, what were the first two? Well, first of all, you need to develop the attitude of a planner, as someone who accepts as fact the importance of prior planning and how absolutely critical it is to write down those plans. And second, well, you need to develop the attitude of an evaluator. Listen, you need to become someone who understands and knows how to identify and work with what we call needs, wants, and desires. Those were the first two of the seven last week. Two more this week. Two more. We're going to add a couple of more items for you to add to your written attitude action plan. The third of the seven critical parts of your written attitude action plan, listen, is to develop the attitude of a cost cutter. This is to say that you need to look for ways to cut your expenses, particularly If you and your family are in a position of not being able to keep up with your bills, or maybe you've discovered an area or two where you are out of balance, that, you know, where you may be operating below the needs level in one or two areas of your life, at the same time that you're trying to live at the wants or the desires level in other areas of your financial life. You're out of balance, need to cut costs. Hey, listen, you need to begin to cut costs. We're going to be talking about specific numbers when we get into the budgeting process, but right now you need to know you don't have to be on a budget to begin to cut costs, okay? Now, how are we going to go? What's the best way to start? Well, let me guarantee you there are always ways that you can cut costs. Even if you've been cutting costs, there are always ways that you are going to be able to cut costs. We're going to be talking about this in both of our elements today. And I've got to tell you that I found one way, if you use a credit card, I can guarantee you one way that you can learn how to cut your costs, okay? And that would be, oh, you're going to love this one. One way to cut your costs, my friends, is to cut up your credit card and go on a cash-only basis, if only for a season. Not for a lifetime, not for the rest of the year, maybe for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, maybe 6 months. Because when you do, what you're going to find is that you're automatically going to begin to spend less without even really trying. You see, if you agree to use cash and not your credit card, you're going to begin to see how your everyday expenses are going to go down. And listen, along the way, you're not going to be doing without. Oh, no, no. You'll be getting along just fine with a whole lot less. And by the way, let me give you something to consider here when it comes to credit cards. Do you realize that you may be guilty of lying to your merchants when you use your credit card? Do you realize that? Now, I know you're saying, oh, whoa, Bob, back off a second. Listen, I use my credit cards, but I do not lie about it. Well, my friend, consider this. You lie when you use your credit cards to buy something knowing full well that you can't pay your bills, the bills that you already have. And what you're doing in this case is not only lying to your merchants, you're forcing all of your merchants and creditors to support your indulgences. Listen, destroying your credit cards and going on a cash-only basis may not be easy, may not be a whole lot of fun, but I'm telling you from experience, it's a very practical and beneficial step to take before you start to try and set up and live on a budget. And by the way, this leads, I think, naturally, this leads a good place to review some of our thoughts on using credit, okay? From the Bible, what are some thoughts? Well, I can recall back sometimes during seminars or maybe during coaching or counseling sessions, somebody would come up to me and they would say, Bob, I'm real concerned. And I would say, why? What's happening? Well, Bob, it just sounds like you are negative on borrowing. I mean, you come across so negative, I can't believe it. You are negative on using credit. And I answer, oh, my friend, gosh, I'm glad. I'm sorry to see that you feel that way. I'm really sorry about that. That's how I seem to come across. I guess that's because I am negative on borrowing. I am negative on using credit. But now remember, let's take a pause here for a second. You've already learned, right? Remember, credit and debt, like money, these things are not evil. They are neither good nor bad. My friend, it is your attitude about them and how you use them that is either going to be glorifying or not glorifying to God. It is your attitude about debt. It is your attitude about credit, listen, that can either get you into trouble or out of trouble. If you have the attitude right now that you've got to have something right now. Maybe you've got to have the biggest, the best, the brightest. Or maybe you even need to have what somebody else has. That's your attitude. Well, listen, I'm telling you, according to God's word, you need to have an attitude adjustment. You need to recognize that you may have some spiritual problems up and operating in your life. For example, like greed, maybe indulgence or lack of discipline. You see, you need to recognize that you may be choosing to allow these spiritual issues to place you into what we know as financial bondage. And you know what to do, right? I mean, you know what to do. You know that once you recognize your bad habits, you already know what to do next, right? Remember? Next, you need to move to replace the bad habits with good habits. And as you do that, where's your focus? Right. Your focus is on developing the good habits. Your focus is not on getting rid of the bad habits. Listen, if credit cards are causing you a problem, well, get rid of them for a season. And even if you don't think they're causing you a problem, get rid of them for a season anyway, and you're going to learn a whole lot more about God and yourself, I promise. Okay? So first thing that you need to do is today, we've just been talking about having the attitude of a cost cutter. It is always possible to cut your costs even without going on a budget. But then, the next attitude is to have the resolve to get out of debt. Have the attitude that you can and will preferably become and stay debt free. Okay? All right. Now listen. you have may just tuned me out. I know that. I recognize that. Because you believe that given your financial situation right where you are today, that there is absolutely no way in the world that you're ever going to become debt-free, much less stay debt-free, this side of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. There are some of you out there that are listening that are thinking that very thing right now. But let me ask all of you that are listening, and I want you to give yourself an answer out loud. Speak the answer. It's either going to be yes or no. Whatever it is, speak it out loud, okay? Here's the question. Answer yes or no out loud. Do you believe it is possible for you in your situation to ever become debt-free? Do you? Remember, out loud, yes or no? Well, I can't hear your answer, but I can guarantee you that the correct answer is yes. 99.9% of the time, the answer is going to be yes. Absolutely, it is possible for you to become and stay debt-free, regardless of what you think about your current financial situation. Listen, the answer to that question is yes. Say yes. Yes, it is. Yes, I can and will become debt free. But how am I going to do it? Well, basically, it's not that difficult. Oversimplifying it a little bit, there's only two ways to get out of debt. The first thing you can do is to increase your income. And the second thing you can do is to cut your expenses. And both of those would be important to consider. Listen, however, I got to tell you from experience, cutting your expenses are going to be, that's going to be a whole lot easier to accomplish in the short run than increasing your income. Now, and again, we're going to focus on exact numbers of how to cut, where you need to cut when you get into your budget. But for now, what we're dealing with, remember, is your attitude, not with numbers. You see, your attitude has got to always come first. If you try to change your numbers before you allow God to change your attitude, I guarantee you that you and your budget are going to crash and burn. Okay? Okay, all right. So how are we doing? Are we keeping up? Good. Now that you've resolved to get out of debt, now that you have the attitude that says, oh, I don't know, by 6 months from now, by a year from now, by such and such date, you're going to set a goal. By such and such date, I will become debt free. That's your attitude. Now, how can you start right now to turn that attitude into a reality? I mean, more specifically, what are some other ways that you can start to cut your expenses? We've already talked about one. Remember cost cutter? We talked about doing away with your credit card and going on a cash only basis for a season. Well, I gotta tell you, there are a lot of other things that you can do right now to head down that same path. So let's just briefly build a list of some of the ideas that you can consider to help you look for ways to cut your expenses, okay? Number one, first, you can resolve to do some of the things around your house yourself. Now this may be a little inconvenient, but it is a good way to save money. I mean, for example, you can change your own oil in the car. You can do your own pest control. Maybe you can fix your own leaky faucets. You don't know how to do that? Google it. Here's another idea. Begin to substitute lower depreciation items for higher depreciation items. For example, you can choose to buy used cars, okay? Or you can make your current car last just a little bit longer. Clark Howard is going to talk with us a little bit about that and just a little bit. Now, what you're going to find, what we know, is that most cars, they are not worn out in the first 4 or 5 years of life. They're traded in because the owners get tired. They get tired of them, or because they've allowed the maintenance to get so neglected that the owners are afraid to drive them, okay? I'm telling you, and you know this, cars cost you dearly in the first 4 years, okay? But in the second 4 years and beyond, your car begins to get a whole lot more reasonable if you take care of it, okay? Now, something else you can do. You can cut back on the gadgets and bells and whistles, okay, on whatever you buy, particularly when it comes to appliances. What am I talking about? Well, for example, let's say you need a washer and dryer, okay? If your washer and dryer, if they go out, rather than buying a new set that's loaded with all of the options, why not look for a good basic used set without all of those extra convenience options that are on there and cost a whole lot of money? I'm telling you, even if that used washer and dryer is avocado green, try looking for used appliances. Here's something else. Cut back on buying convenience items at the grocery store. Buy food that you have to cook, not just heat up in the microwave. Also, cut back on fast food. Listen, you can live just fine without a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke for a while, okay? Actually, I will tell you, you'll live a whole lot better and a whole lot longer if you cut back on fast food. But that's just an idea. Quit eating out, start eating in. And you can look for other ways to conserve. You know, I got to believe all of us can do a whole lot more in this area, right? But it's particularly important to you if you're trying to reduce your expenses and get out of debt. For example, around the house, what can you do? Hey, listen, power bills are going up. All you have to do is read the news, listen to the radio, watch TV. Hey, our utility bills are going to be going up. Gas, electricity, for those of us on city water, you know, all of our utilities are going to be going up here in the next 4, 5, 6 months. For example, what can you do? Turn off your lights. Turn off your faucets. Adjust the thermostat. Turn off the kids. No, I'm sorry. My wife just hit me upside the head. No. Listen, use menus and coupons to shop for food. Maybe join a food co-op. Or how about this? Adjust your driving habits. Consolidate trips to save gas. Now, true, conserving may only save you a dollar or two a month. But listen, I'm telling you again from personal experience that with a little practice and patience, you can learn to save a whole lot more. But regardless of how much you save now or later, remember, it is the process and your attitude that is so much more important than the product in this case, which is the savings, okay? Now, there are a whole lot of other ways. We're going to be talking about them. But what I want to do here is just to make sure that you know, there are ways you can begin to cut costs without even going on a budget, okay? Ways to cut back to the basics, to help reduce your spending on your wants and desires. So one of the first steps to getting out of debt is to cut back to the essentials of life. Recognize what your needs are, and then learn to live for a while at the needs level. My friend, do you know what we find out so many times in coaching? So many times people try to get out of debt while they try to maintain the self-indulgent lifestyle that got them into debt to begin with. And then they wonder, why did they fail? Why did they fail on budgeting? Why don't they see God's hand hard at work in their finances? Again, attitudes and actions may need to be changed. And one more thing, just because you cut your costs now to get hold of your expenses does not mean that you can never go back to spending more. Yes, you can, but when you do, listen, all your needs are going to be covered, and you're going to have a whole lot more peace in your life as well, all right? So there you have it. You now have the first 4 of the 7 critical attitudes that you need to develop and set into place. You need to write them down and begin to act on even before you start to figure out and to live on your first budget. Again, real quick, what are they? First of all, you have to have the attitude of a planner, as someone who accepts as fact the importance of prior planning and how critical it is to write those plans down. Second, you need to develop the attitude of an evaluator, being able to identify and work with your needs, your wants, and your desires. Number three, you need to become one who has an attitude of a cost cutter. You need to be able to look for immediate ways to cut back your expenses. And number four, you need to develop the attitude of someone who is destined to live debt-free. My friends, these are the first four critical attitudes that you and your family need to put into place before you even think about starting the budgeting process. Now, there are three more, and you're going to discover exactly what they are during our next two radio sessions together. Don't miss it. Now, during our Q&A time together, let's continue to build on some of what we just learned in our seminar segment. Let's continue to talk just a bit about what the Bible has to say about debt and borrowing. Real world questions, real world people. Here's the first one. Bob, I'm from a school of thought that says that we need to use other people's money, OPM. In other words, borrow to do whatever you want. It's a hard mentality to shake, even though I now understand that it is contrary to God's word. I was recently at a meeting in which fundraisers recommended that people in the congregation borrow to give to a church building program. Now, that sounds more reasonable to me than the church borrowing money itself. What do you think? Oh, my goodness. I will tell you, I went back and I researched this from my old Larry Burkett materials. Let me read, Jerry, what I found that Larry Burkett once wrote, okay? These are Larry's words. If you knowingly violate biblical principles, it is wrong, no matter how noble the purpose. I don't believe God would direct anyone to violate his word to accomplish his work. The principle of surety says that we do not borrow against an unknown contingency. The idea of using other people's money has been greatly overplayed in our society, especially within the church. I believe that God has provided all of us as Christians all of the money necessary to do anything we want if we are committed to it. Borrowing should never play a part in giving. We should always give what already belongs to us, not what belongs to somebody else. End of quote. Well, that's the response, and it's a good one. It's a good one. Basically, I agree. Do not borrow to give to your church. Great question, and you'd be surprised how many times we get this question. Now, according to our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard, supply issues that are stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic have drastically affected demand and the prices for both new and used cars. But he says things are improving, but likely not to get better to the beginning of next year. Right now, he says that the average price of a used car in March of 2022 was $27,246. Now, that's hard. Man, that's high. But the good news is that's 28% higher than it was a year ago. Okay? So given the state of the marketplace, what does Clark recommend that you do if you're in the market for a car? First of all, he says, listen, try and keep your old car running at least until January of 2023. And once you keep it running, make sure the maintenance is up so you'll have a little bit better opportunity to sell it or to trade it in when you're going to get another car. But if keeping your current car on the road is not a possibility, well, then we know that Clark typically recommends that your best buy is going to be a car that's going to be about 3 years old. A good hunk of the depreciation is already going to be gone. But because three-year-old cars are so overpriced, what Clark does he recommends that you buy as old a car as you possibly can that's still going to get you from point A to point B. It may not look good, but as long as it runs well, that's what you need to do. And where are you going to do that? Well, you're going to shop around. And you don't have to go to a showroom. You can download an app or visit a website to help in your car shopping. You know, sites like Auto Trader, CarMax, and Carvana help make buying used cars a whole lot easy. So the first thing you can do is shop around. Second, stay within your budget. And third, make sure you get that used car checked out. No matter how reputable the seller may be, Clark always suggests that you get your car examined by a licensed mechanic who is independent of the dealer, okay? Now they're not going to catch everything. They may miss something, but you're still going to be a whole lot better off getting the car checked out than not, okay? All right, great advice. Thank you so much, Clark Howard. Okay, let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of all of our times together, and that would be to spend a minute with Maxwell. Today, John Maxwell is going to give us his thoughts on the word boldness.
Hi, Grace from Gallatin, Tennessee, who's a team member of ours, asked me to talk about boldness today. I'm glad she did. It's an important word. I think that boldness is a word that gets us out of our comfort zone. We like to kind of stay and be in an environment that we're comfortable with. And so therefore, boldness means that we kind of hop over the fence. We go where we've never gone before. We claim new territory. We're pioneering. We're moving in places that are new and virgin to our life. But it's in that boldness, it's in that audacity that allows us to come to a place where we discover things that we would have never discovered if we'd have stayed in our comfort zone. When we were experiencing COVID, one of the things that I realized is that it took everybody out of its comfort zone. And then I began to realize everything that you either want in life or need in life, but you don't have it because it's outside of your comfort zone. What does boldness do for us? What does audacity do for us? It helps us to get out of our comfort zone. It helps us to get what we need or what we want, but we don't have. So I guess take the step today. Maybe you've been waiting for a while. Maybe you've been waiting for a minute with Maxwell for me to come into your life and just encourage you. Take the step you haven't taken yet. Trust me, it'll take you to higher territory. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
That just about wraps up our time together for today. Now, recall, we're adding to your written attitude action plan, right? Those are attitudes that you and your family must be able to put into place before you begin to design and to live on a budget. And so far, we've talked about four. Last week, we saw that you needed to develop the attitude of a planner. You also needed to develop the attitude of an evaluator, someone who could identify and work with your needs, wants, and desires. And then this week, you saw the need to develop the attitude of a cost cutter, and also the attitude that says that one of these days you are going to be and are going to remain debt-free. Now, there are seven of these attitudes. We've covered four. We're going to take a look at the next three the next time. All right? Then, during our Q&A time together, we saw that God's will for us is to get out and stay out of debt, even when everything and most people around us think that debt is going to be required in order to be a success in life. Clark Howard helped us learn how to buy a car if you absolutely need to get one now or before the end of 2022. And finally, John Maxwell just shared with us about the word boldness. Lots and lots of great information, my friends. Lots of great information. Now, one of the things that you can do, remember, one of the things that you can do to better recall all that it is that God is giving you is to review, review, review. And one of the best ways to review is to go back to the website at www.christianfinancialministries.org, where you will be able to re-listen to this and all of our radio programs. My friend, I want to thank you for being with us today. Let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come, all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.